Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This podcast episode is going to be a little different than what I usually do here. For starters, I'm hardly going to be in it at all. Instead, I'm simply going to be introducing some segments from another podcast. So why am I doing that? Well, about a month ago, I came across an episode from Ollie Mann's Modern Man podcast about a Christmas single called The Sounds of Christmas. Obviously, since this song had the same name as this podcast and as my online Christmas music station, I needed to know more. So I listened to several episodes, all from 2018, about the creation of this song and the way it went on to benefit a small children's charity in the UK. And I wanted to share the story with you. I reached out to Ollie Mann, and he thought it would be better if he had his producer send me audio from those episodes and follow-ups from 2019, since it happened several years ago, and since Ollie Pert, another member of the show, had been so involved with the song in the first place. Here's a little about the Modern Man podcast. The Modern Man is a proudly independent show, which has attracted well over 1 million downloads and more than 250 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. The show has twice been nominated Podcast of the Year at the UK Radio Academy Awards, winning silver in 2016. In 2019, The Modern Man won Best Interview at the British Podcast Awards for the acclaimed episode, What Nobody Tells You About Rape. You can check them out for yourself at modernman.co.uk, and man is spelled with two N's, M-A-N-N. The story began in 2018 when Ollie Mann read an email from one of his listeners. Listeners often emailed to suggest some kind of challenge for Ollie Pert to do or accomplish, and these usually took about a week. But this one was different.
Jim Taylor says, having met Ollie last summer when he saw me playing with Reverend and the Makers, I would like to suggest a musical challenge for your little ginger genius.
A musical.
His challenge for you is to write a Christmas song. You a fan of the Christmas Hit Parade, Ollie?
No, I hate Christmas.
Well, that's your title right away, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Everyone would want to hear the Ollie Pert Christmas single.
Of course they would.
So the idea is, now we're aware this is a difficult thing for you to pull together in a week. So that's why you have a while. The idea is that over the next few weeks you can update us on your progress. We're going to try and help you along the way and put you in touch with people who might be able to help you write and produce and actually put together a Christmas song that we're going to try and make available by the end of this series. Okay?
Yeah, I suppose.
And that was how it began. From there, each week, Ollie gave updates on the behind-the-scenes work that was going into making a Christmas song. The next step was to actually figure out what did go into making a Christmas song.
I spoke to a chap called Chris Lockery, who has investigated the science behind the perfect Christmas song. So he's broken down all of the, not all of the Christmas songs, but a large swathe of them, and looked for key elements to each of those songs that make them a successful Christmas song. And he gave me a few top tips. So,
cool mid-year.
No, he was really helpful. He said almost all Christmas songs, without exception, are in a major key.
Yeah, well, happy time of year, isn't it?
Don't sound so like, oh yeah, well, I knew that.
No, I'm not. I mean, there are occasionally like morose Christmas number ones, aren't they? Like, what's that one that was the Tears for Fears cover? Yeah,
I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad.
Yeah, good voice.
Yeah,
but was that a Christmas song or just a Christmas number one?
Oh, I see. Yeah, like Stay Another Day, that's a song that just happened to come out at Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it was a Christmas number one.
Both kind of right.
Christmas songs in a major key.
Anyway, this is a Christmas song. It's got to be in a major key. So this is going to be in a major key.
Yeah.
So next thing was I asked him about was instrumentation. What's going to be in there? Three things. Jingle bells.
Yes.
Chimes.
Yes.
And tambourines.
Okay.
He then asked me what type of Christmas song that I wanted to do, so what genre, because he said there are three main genres of Christmas song.
Thrash metal.
Carols.
Yeah.
Jazz style.
Really?
Yeah.
Like so, what?
chestnuts roasting and you. That's jazz, right?
Sure. And what's the third category?
Pop.
Pop, yes.
Yeah, pop.
I think let's go pop.
And then the last thing was the time signature. So I just assumed could pop's on 4/4. But what, Chris?
Wow, actual musical vocabulary going on.
I'm a drummer.
I'm not. So, like, I don't know what a time signature is, really. I know it's to do with how many beats are in a song.
Well, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Uh-huh. But what Chris has said, if you want a successful Christmas song,
yeah,
is 12/8.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm excited by that factoid.
So it's kind of like a Bavarian type umpah time signature. So it's like do 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 Christmas time, Christmas time, do 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 do. It's a bit like that. It's like ploddy.
Wow, that's a hit
no, but that
already.
Sounds, that would,
no,
that,
I mean, you've got the chorus.
But you know what I mean? That kind of sounds quite Christmassy, right?
It, yeah, yeah. No,
as in,
that, I'll tell you what it sounded like a bit when you just did that. It sounded like the one that goes... Yeah,
exactly.
Sounded like that one. But it didn't sound like Band-Aid or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
No.
I would go pop music with an umpapa bridge.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go full on Bavarian and
right.
put the bloody lederhosen on.
Sure.
I'm going to just have that as the time signature with some kind of, like, you know, jingles, a major key with an umpah kind of rhythm to it. It's going to be sexy, going to be loud. It's going to look great, sound great. And you're going to love it. It's going
to
be great.
Then Ollie Parrott had a Skype call with Chris to start working on the lyrics. And Chris told him the most important thing he needed to do.
We need the one key line. I'm like constantly trying to find the key line. Now, the key line is really, really important to any song. Like, not only to a Christmas song, but to any song. It's a really efficient line. And it's a line that says everything that you want to say about the song in one line.
Okay.
So basically, you don't even have to listen to one other lyric in the song. We can actually test that theory out. Literally, gibberish and then one key line.
And what would be, what's an example of that?
Adele. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. So that key line is simple words. They're really simple words. But if you deconstruct them, all of a sudden you've created the whole story in your head from that one line. So she's not with someone anymore that she used to be with. Okay? She's not with them anymore. She still wants to be with them, even though she can't. But then she's trying to convince herself that it's okay, I'll find someone like you, when she probably knows she never will. Actually, she never will. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is all in her. She's like, I'm feeling a bit sorry for herself, actually making everyone else feel sorry about her. You know, all of those things come into, like, in just that one little line. So you created that whole story out of that one little line.
That's what we need.
Like, find that first. If you find that, like, your job is, like, half done.
In this clip, Ollie Parrott talked about using the advice he got to start trying to write lyrics for his Christmas song.
He was like, you need to get yourself a hook line. Then the only way you can get yourself a hook line is by free writing. And free writing is where you time yourself for like 10 minutes and you just write. So you know you're writing for a Christmas song and you're not allowed to be disturbed. You can't stop. You just got to go. So that's what I did. Here's a bit from like a couple of lines in. Christmas is a time to be with people, to listen to people, to hear people. That's a question for some reason. Christmas is about communicating. No, it isn't. What a load of okay, so snow. Animals like deer or whatever. Sounds like Christmas. It sounds like Christmas time. Yes, right. Christmas is a time full of stuff that doesn't really matter. What we need is to listen carefully to the sound of Christmas time. This is the time to listen to Christmas. Put on your headphones and listen to Christmas.
I quite like that. I quite like that. This is the time to listen to Christmas. Put on your headphones and listen to Christmas. That's quite fun for a chorus. The rest of it, I'm not convinced about, I'll be honest.
So I've sent all of that to Phil, and hopefully he won't run away. And the idea is that he'll look at it, and he'll make a song.
About a week later, Ollie presented his first pass at his Christmas song, and how he wanted to take this challenge a little further and involve the podcasting community.
We have a Christmas song. So Philip recorded this on his phone,
uh-huh.
But you have to try and imagine, this is what he said to me, imagine this being... Ollie Murs singing it.
Right.
Just have that in your head.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you The Sounds of Christmas, written by Philip Mark Anquetil and Ollie Peart.
Oh, piano led. I like it.
Get out of my lonely bed in radios on about global warm. Rain is pelting down on the street. It's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas time. And you're still not mine.
That's a great key change.
We love a key change. You're bopping your head.
Be nearly a year, I keep hearing your voice. Hate silent nights, but I have no choice. The light of the fire, mull the wine. Null down a few to forget Christmas time.
So I feel like I've heard this before, even though I haven't.
Cause you're still not mine.
I know what you mean. I'm already choreographing the dance moves.
So how am I supposed to move on and forget? Cause all I want for Christmas is inside my head. So turn off the carols, unjingle the bells.
You're enjoying it.
It's good.
You're smiling.
Unjingle the bells. That's a good lyric.
Good lyric.
Don't light any fireworks, it hurts like hell. Cause Christmas reminds me of you.
I like it. It's got a kind of Paul Williams meets Scouting for Girls vibe.
The sounds of Christmas remind me of you.
That's really good.
That is the bit at the end as well, right? So you've got a crush on someone at the office. That's the bit where you make eyes and say, come on, let's have a little kiss.
Oh, the Christmas party.
Christmas kiss.
That's where you make the ill-advised move, isn't it?
It's the Love Actually moment. That's what it is.
So reluctantly, I have to say, in all honesty, you have succeeded at this challenge because the simple task was, can you write a Christmas song? There's a question mark over whether you really have written this, but that is a Christmas song and you were involved in the writing process, so well done.
First of all, there's no question as to whether I've written it or not. I have, and yes, you are right to say that, but we're only halfway through the series, so I've had this fixation on number one.
Some might say obsession. Yeah, some might say unhealthy, weird, paranoid obsession.
Ed Sheeran, he only sold 85,397 records to get to Christmas number one last year.
Yes.
I cannot get that figure out of my head. That is a completely achievable number.
Well, it might be achievable if you had Ed Sheeran singing that song, but we don't. I mean, we don't even have Ollie Murs. We have Ollie Peart. So how would you sell that many records?
We are part of a podcast network called Acast, right?
Yeah.
And Acast have 20 million downloads every single month.
Uh-huh.
I want to harness that power, that audience, that demographic to help us.
How? You're not going to get My Dad Wrote a Porno or Adam Buxton to be talking about buying this single on their show. So how are you going to harness the network?
Pod Aid.
Go on.
Well, the idea is that we get all of the podcasters that we know, as many as we can get, and we give them a line in the song to sing. And so they all become part of the track. And then we use that power to drive it to number one. Can you just imagine? I'm being serious now. 85,397 and there are 20 million downloads a month. The podcast community, I'm telling you, we have the power. And it's been done before. As in, not with podcasting, but like to get around the traditional means of getting to number one. So Rage Against the Machine, right?
Yeah, that was like the anti-X Factor number one,
wasn't exactly.
Yeah, and that was Facebook, basically.
Yeah, it's an online petition.
And no one's done it really with podcast audiences. That is true.
And if there's one thing we know about podcast audiences, they're very loyal.
Yeah, but they're not deaf, crucially.
You've heard the song.
No. The song's good. I'm not criticising the song that you definitely wrote. What I'm saying is you singing it might still be an issue. And actually, you're saying pod aid, so you get all different podcasters to sing a line, and that's fun. I get it. But I'm a podcaster of some prominence. If someone came to me and Helen on Answer Me This and said, sing this line of this song, we'd sing it out of tune and it wouldn't be very pleasant to listen to. And that sounded a bit out of our range.
Well, I thought about that, which is why I got back to Phil and said, can we make it so it's suitable for multiple voices? Can we change it somehow? Can we maybe make it a little bit more comedic, a little bit lighthearted, so that it doesn't necessarily matter if somebody's got a good voice or not?
Like the Comic Relief charity thing.
Yeah, a little bit style. Like a mashup of Comic Relief and Band-Aid, right?
Uh-huh.
And he agreed. And
Bagsy Bono. Can I be Bono?
You can if you want.
But I want to be singing the line, put on your headphones and listen to Christmas, which isn't in there.
I'll tell you what, I will say this now. You can have whatever line you want.
Okay.
But he went away and he sent me an updated version of this track.
Okay.
Do you want to have a listen?
Yes.
Get out of my lonely bed in the morning. Radio's on about global warming.
Rain is melting down. Got some driving production behind it now.
Do you feel like clicking?
Christmas time.
It's got the jingle bells.
I think they're chimes, actually.
Been nearly a year, I keep hearing your
hate silent nights, but I have no choice now. Light the fire, mull the wine, I'll down a few to forget Christmas time. So how am I supposed to...
There's a 12-8.
This is better than the Mel Smith version of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree already, and that still gets airplay. So turn off the carols and jingle the bells. Let's boil the chestnuts in stew.
Don't light any fire. You were humming! You were humming!
It's great. It's an upbeat, pathos Christmas song.
And if you remember my spaffing, and this is me, you know, clawing at that writing credit, you know, it was borderline angry.
Yeah, he's very much boiled down the gist of what you put and put it into something palatable, but maybe there's a genus there. Okay, so what happens next? You want to get a load of podcasters to sing a line each.
Yeah, this is where the real work happens, right? So we need to get in touch with them all. It's a lot of emailing. And basically...
When you say we... This is your baby.
No, you've taken this. Listen,
no,
you said it yourself. No, you're a prominent podcaster.
I did not say that I was going to help you in any way.
No, I'm telling you, you're going to help me.
Well, how?
Well, you're going to use your gravitas.
Am I now?
Yes.
And what's in it for me? I mean, this is your challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's it. In the spirit of Christmas, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? We're going to give money to charity for it, Ollie.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Well, you know, Pod Aid, I think that we should do something for charity. We shouldn't just, it shouldn't just be some kind of ego trip whereby we all become uber famous.
It's the carrot they dangle in front of everyone when you can't be bothered to do the work, isn't it? It's for charity. You can't say no when it's for charity, can you?
Good to know that you're on board then.
In an effort to get the song recorded and ready to be released in time for Christmas, Ollie turned to listeners for help.
How are we going to get this made in 2 weeks' time?
We need all the help we can get, Ollie, frankly. Couple of things. So a chap called Joseph, at Suddenly Joseph on Twitter, he's tweeted in. He said, "At the Modern Man, track is great." Loves the track.
It is good.
Because I wrote it.
That's right.
"But the computerized instruments won't perform well in the charts." I think he's got a point here.
Well, yeah, it was a demo, wasn't it, that we played out.
And what we're looking for is listeners who are professional musicians that have the ability to record at home.
Right.
At quality.
So hold on. Has Philippe in Australia sent you a backing track that they can play along to?
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you, like Joseph, play an instrument and would like to play on the finished version,
yes,
we'll send you the backing track so that you can send in your instrumentation. Is that right?
That's right. The only one you can't is drums, because I'm going to do that.
Someone has been in touch, Ollie.
This doesn't sound good. Who is it? Phil Collins?
It is. It's Tom Meadows, you know, the Kylie's drummer.
Oh, my God.
We gave him a shout-out on the show a few weeks ago, and he got in touch and said, "Hi, Ollie, as a thank you for your kind support, I'd like to play the drums on your Christmas single."
So is that... What do I get? Chimes.
To give you your own words back at you, it's for charity, Ollie. And I think I have to make the business decision that probably Kylie's drummer is better than you.
You just said, "I want the best line, I'm Bono." I am having...
Okay, no. If Bono gets in touch and wants to be on our single, Bono can have my life.
That's fine.
That's
but I'm
the
getting
business
a rap,
decision.
I'm getting a rap segment. I want to be able to rap then. If he's... I want to do something that's of percussive.
Okay.
And I definitely want a line.
Let's try and find you something that's less culturally appropriating but still plays to your talents.
This is what always happens to writers. They write something and then they just get sidelined.
I get the whole joke. Yeah, you co-wrote it. The fact
it's
you're actually defining yourself as a writer.
We can go back. We can pick apart my ramblings. Go through Phil's lyrics. My song.
While Ali Pert continued to work on his song, Ollie Mann did an interview with Martin Lieb from Samuel's Charity. The charity was originally started by Martin's son, Samuel, who was 9 and fighting cancer. The idea was that the charity would bring essential equipment, support, and entertainment to bring a smile when it was needed most by other children who were seriously or terminally ill. In this segment, Martin explains what the money is used for and how and why people can help.
We were getting things for the ward, like a toaster, mugs, spoons. We were asking the nurses and the other parents what we needed. You know, we raised some money through Facebook, and then we were like, we've got some money. What do we do with it? We knew the food was awful, but just buying teaspoons. There was a toaster that had broken that was often toast was one of the things that kids wanted to eat. coffee, I think, we got for the parents just so we could make it through the day. Little things like that to start with.
It must have felt like quite empowering because even though it's a small thing, buying a toaster, you have no control over your child's condition and the chemotherapy is not working. This is something you can do.
A lot of the time you felt helpless as a parent. I mean, your job is to look after your children. And you felt like a particular failure when your kids are ill and you can't do anything about it. There's a certain type of guilt that you often feel that you should have done something different or better. And that if it hadn't been you as a parent, then they wouldn't be in this position.
What do you mean? I mean, how could that possibly...
It's an irrational guilt. It's not rational. It's just... You constantly think, maybe if I'd done this or I hadn't done that, maybe if I'd seen it sooner, if I'd been a better parent, if I'd been more aware, I could have caught this quicker. Maybe if I'd known more, I could have done more. You look into their eyes and you know they're just pleading with you, take this pain away. Stop this. And when you can't do anything about it, rationality isn't of any use. You just feel like you're helpless. And you blame yourself.
How old was Samuel when he died?
He was 9. It had only taken about 5 months. 5 and a bit. From the time that we went to hospital to when he passed away. I felt like the whole world was behind a pane of very thick smoke glass. I was in the world, but I really didn't feel like I was of that world. There was my daughter, and I still looked after her 50% of the time, because not long after Sam got ill, myself and my wife split up. So the time I had with Evie was my only contact, the only relationship that I felt was really strong, because it was there every day.
And of course you've got to talk to your daughter about it.
That was the worst day of my life. I came back from the hospital the next day and I'd asked everyone not to say anything to her, and I sat her down and I just said to her, "Your brother's passed away, he won't be back. She got it. She was just at that age where she understood what was going on. And you could see there was a sadness in her and a way that she'd changed, because even though Sam didn't live with us, he'd come down every other weekend with me. She idolised him, the bigger brother, and he loved her to bits as well. I mean, it was the day after I told my daughter that Sam had gone, you fall apart.
I mean, I've not lost... The closest person to me that I've lost is my father. And the experience that I have of grief with that, although it's different because at some point you expect your parents to die, albeit my father died very suddenly and I wasn't expecting it at that moment, is the thing everyone says of 3 months later, 4 months later, you know he's dead and yet suddenly you find yourself wanting to tell him something on the phone or you think he's about to walk in the room. I imagine that's the thing that's hardest. You wake up and you forget for a moment and then you remember.
Yeah. The normal things that you do, birthday parties is a classic one. There's a chair that's empty. You expect to see him there. Or Christmas. All these little things that you just turn around and you expect that seat to be filled and it's not. Sometimes it just catches you, you know. Sometimes on the street you're walking along and you see someone and you think, it's almost natural to go, "Oh, Sam," and that's not him. It's somebody else. And even though he would be 14 now, blimey, there was not long ago, only a month ago actually, Evie is now older than him. That wasn't a day I told anybody about. I didn't want to tell her, especially. You just don't know how that's going to affect them. And, you know, I don't want to add anything more to it.
This is something that obviously you still want to talk about. You wrote to us and said you want to talk about
this. Yeah.
But I imagine it's something your colleagues, your friends, your family don't want to talk to you about. No. They don't know what the parameters are.
No, no. When it first happens, quite a few people don't get it. It's one of the things we talk. I go to a bereaved parents group in Milton Keynes, and it's one of the things that comes up all the time. One day on or a decade on, people have trouble talking about it. You're right, the parameters are unknown about it unless you've been there. And if you've been there, then it is a club that nobody wants to join. You understand what it is only because you've gone through that time of losing something that you never thought would happen. Like you said, with your parents, you expect it hurts. I bet it hurts like hell. I've been very lucky. I haven't lost my parents. But it happens, and you think about them, and even my dad thinks of his mum and dad, and he talks about them and has a chat with them, and it's gorgeous. But you still see there's that sadness there. But 5 years on from losing a child, no, people think you've got over it. You moved on. People think it hurts to bring it up, or that they don't know what to say, or how to say it. Some people are great. In fact, the person that was the best was a nephew, not long after Sam had died. And with all the other adults saying, oh, how are you doing? You know, what can I do for you? I'm there for you. You know, all these nice thoughts, but not hugely useful. One nephew, 14-year-old, came up and said, he just gave me a hug and said, I'll never know what you're going through, but I'm here if you need me. And I think that was probably the best thing somebody said to me. Because they don't know what you're going through, and I don't want somebody to try and feel what I'm going through, because they're not going to get it. And I don't want them to even put themselves in that position.
At what point after he died did you decide to carry on the charity?
I was doing it a few weeks after. It didn't really stop. People were saying, oh, I'd love to help in some way. How can we do this? And we'd already planned this Tough Mudder. So we come along to that.
The assault course?
Yep. I did that in the October. Sam passed away in the January, and it had been planned for the October. So that we'd already planned that the year before.
The thing about doing a Tough Mudder is the narrative is, look at me, I'm this bereaved dad, but look, I'm superhuman, I can do this amazing thing. And actually what you're describing is someone who doesn't feel like that.
No, no. I knew what Sam was going through was awful. And I just wanted to go to do something that was tough as well.
Mm.
It wasn't about being superhuman. I felt so guilty that I was sitting there and he was going through that, and I would have done anything to switch places. And you almost want to put yourself through something. So there's an almost a small, minute connection that you're going through something tough, and you can almost have a little bit of solidarity about that.
And what about people listening to this who say, aren't there already charities for essentially children who have cancer, for brightening up wards? Aren't there already charities that support people who are terminally ill? Why give money to a small specific charity?
Yeah, there are loads of charities. There's loads of amazing charities. But there are so many wards that have no support. And we didn't realise this until we were in one of them. We also help individual children where their parents can't help them. Sometimes we'll buy them a final wish or a gift if they're very ill or terminally ill. And that's because a nurse or a health professional refer them to us. But the majority of the time is with people come to us saying that they need support on a ward. And it's word of mouth that's done this, and we have to limit at the moment how many wards we can help because we have very limited funds. We've raised £200,000 in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but when you put it in perspective, it costs to redecorate a ward. It's £150,000 for a decent sized ward. One of the biggest things we see is that even within a hospital, there'll be wards that have got a lot of support, and there'll be wards of none. There may be a ward where a famous person, their child's been looked after there, and they put their name towards it and they get lots of support. Down the corridor, there's a ward where they can't afford to buy pens and paper and paint. Those are the wards that we help. And there's too many of them.
Well, you might be aware, I know because you are a Man fan, that we are running this ridiculous challenge on the show at the moment. Ollie Pitt is trying to get to Christmas number one. We have this charity single without a charity at the moment. Would you allow us to donate the proceeds to you?
Thank you. That would be fantastic.
Chances are it'll be about 300 quid. But, you know, every little helps.
Yep.
And we'd really like to support your charity.
Thank you. And the song is pretty good as well, by the way.
Isn't it?
It is.
I had to eat my words.
I was humming along at the same time as you last. It was very good. I was impressed by that.
Okay, Man fans. So we have the charity and we have the song. Now we just need your money. What could your money buying our Christmas single raise for Samuel's charity?
Even £300 raised makes a big difference. We'll buy a tablet for a ward or some tablets, and they'll loan them out to the kids, because a lot of kids that don't have their own tablets.
Sure.
And that transforms their day from distraction, so that when they're having an injection or they're having some horrible set of medicine, they can be watching a film, and before they know it's done. We pay for Netflix on many wards, so they've got, you know, sign-ins that the nurses look after, so there's always something for them to watch.
But here's the thing. If we want to be ambitious, it would be amazing to buy Samuel's charity an Accuvane. Here's Martin explaining what one of those is used for.
Now, an Accuvane is a handheld scanner that shows your veins. So it's about the size of a really big mobile phone. And it's just a light that you shine on the skin, but it shows every single vein. And what that means is that you can have an injection done first time, every time. This one piece of equipment transforms a child's ward. That £4,000 is probably the best £4,000 I spend whenever I get the chance to, because not only does it cut down on the pain across a ward, and some wards use them 20-30 times a day, it is the smiles and the knowledge that you know that you've done something, not just on the "that was nice, they've got something that looks nice, it's fun to play with," but medically you've really helped.
Okay, so you've quantified this for us. 300 quid, realistic target. That would be nice.
Fantastic.
If we can get to £4,000.
Wow.
That would make a difference.
That would be an Accuvane for a child's ward, which would change that whole children's ward.
Ollie Mann and Ollie Parrott talk about the podcasters that have agreed to be a part of this Christmas single, and they play a piece of the latest mix of the song.
What podcasters are in the final lineup? Can you reveal this now?
I can. I can also reveal that the collective term for this group of podcasters is, of course, the Podcast All-Stars.
That's good, because I guess legally Pod Aid was a bit problematic anyway.
Yeah, because we'd have Bono over smashing our face in.
And Podcast All-Stars, it promises a lot. Who have you got?
We've got The Modern Man, obviously.
Yeah.
Deborah Francis White from The Guilty Feminist.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Benjamin Partridge of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast.
Yeah.
Martin from Answer Me This.
I've heard of him.
Imriel Morgan from Wannabe. Stuart Goldsmith of The Comedian's Comedian.
And the How to Be a Dad episodes of this podcast, of course.
Craig Parkinson from Two Shot Podcast.
Oh, that's the guy from Line of Duty.
Yeah. We've got Maeve McClenahan from the Tip Off podcast. And we've got Danielle, Margaret and Michael from Do the Right Thing.
Have you? Daniel Ward's on it.
Daniel Ward.
Good, that's not a bad, very solid lineup. How'd you get all their voices on the track?
For Do the Right Thing, producer Matt went along and they recorded it in their dressing room just before they did their live show.
Wow, so they were doing as a warm-up for their show. They were singing The Sounds of Christmas.
Brilliant warm-up, isn't it?
Okay.
But for the rest of them, they just use their podcast setups. There's the advantage of using podcasters. They've already got microphones and recording equipment, so you just go, "Oi, can you just, you know," and they do.
They're not used to singing, though. Alex was very worried about this when we recorded her vocal last week.
But Alex surprise me with her singing voice. Maybe she sings in the shower.
We know what she gets up to in the shower, Ollie. She talked about it extensively on the show. Right, well, I consider my appetite whetted. But before we hear the song, I should say we're not going to hear the whole song.
No.
We're going to hear 1 minute and 30 seconds of it.
Yes.
What's the thinking behind that?
Well, firstly, we want people to go out and buy it. So if we play the whole thing, people just listen to the podcast over and over again, couldn't they? We don't want
a plausible scenario.
We want them to go out. We want them to go out, spend the money.
Yes.
Buy the record, because that's what counts, and that's going to make the difference for the charity.
Yeah, and that is important, because it is for Samuel's charity. So remember, if you are someone who's thinking, "I want to support this song," don't just stream it online. I mean, feel free to play it on Spotify when it comes out, but realistically, the money's going to be made for the charity by you buying the song, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is Podcast All Stars with Sounds of Christmas, which is available to buy. And it starts off with a couple of voices that will be familiar to listeners of this podcast.
So we've had an email from Sam who says, I broke up with my girlfriend last Christmas. Now I can't face Christmas. And I'm thinking about her all the time.
Oh, I hear about so many relationships at Christmas time that end up making just like the turkey and being completely stuffed.
Out of my lonely bed in the morning.
Radio's on about global warming.
Rain is melting down the street. It's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas time.
Christmas time.
Christmas time.
Been nearly a year, but I keep hearing your voice now. Hate silent nights, but I have no choice now.
Light the fire.
That sounds really good.
It's great, isn't it?
It is really good.
So good. When we went into this challenge, just think.
No, you don't have to allow for me in this. I know I've claimed joint ownership, but this was you.
Yeah.
Don't say when we went into this challenge. I just read out an email.
Yeah, but I mean, we're in it now. You're Bono.
Yeah. No, well, actually, on that point, I'm not Bono, am I? Like, no. I wanted the big standout line.
Well, you made yourself stand out in that.
Yeah, because I can't sing. You can clearly hear when it's me coming on.
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm distinct.
God, I can't believe you made us do that.
Standout line is obviously the guy going, inside my head. Who's that?
That's Michael Legg from Do the Right Thing.
Wow, it's good.
It might have gone through auto-tune a little bit, but I don't want to put him down.
Speaking of which, I couldn't hear you in it at all. Where are you?
Well, you know the bit where... You know where you tried to make me pronounce stew properly?
This is when we were recording this last week. And it was when you do the chorus. Boil the chestnuts in... When you say stew, you go stew. In this very bizarre schoolboy choir
stew.
Bit. Yeah.
I'm not in the first chorus in the bit that we just played. I'm in the second chorus. Do you want to hear that bit?
Well, you think I can pick out your voice in the second chorus?
You can hear... You'll hear me.
Okay.
Here it is.
So turn off the carols and jingle the bells. Let's boil stew.
That's me.
That's clearly you, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you sang stew.
Yeah, but, you know, just want to make sure people can hear me.
So how else are we going to try and crack the charts, Ollie?
We're going to run an ad across a load of podcasts.
Well, doesn't that cost us money?
No.
Why? What? Why not?
Well, because we're going to try and persuade Acast to run the ad for us for free.
Oh, to insert an ad into other podcasts on the Acast network.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and emotionally blackmail you as well because I want you to voice it.
Oh, I feel like I'd be taking that away from you, Ollie. This is your project. Why do I get to step in and do the voiceover at the last minute?
I'm not going to sell it. Your nice, beautiful, very dulcet tones will sell this beautiful Christmas number one.
Is that your Ollie Mann impression?
I'm Ollie Mann.
It's literally like just a man in a pub doing David Attenborough.
I think you should give it a bash as well. I've got the script here. Do you want to give it a go?
I'll look at it, yeah.
No, here we go.
No, I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah, do it. No, do it now.
You've written me a script.
Yes. Just read it. Radio 4, come on.
This is Sounds of Christmas, the charity single featuring some of your favourite podcasters. And all... I'm doing a smile in my voice. That's important.
That... Do you know what? I am melting inside. Yeah. Can you do that again? And I need it for the bath later.
Or I can do it again, but it's £50 for a pickup.
Sure.
And all in aid of Samuel's charity, Sounds of Christmas. Buy it now.
Get to the fast bit.
Oh, there's a disclaimer.
Yep.
You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps us get into the charts and raise more money. Sounds of Christmas. Download it now.
That's not fast enough.
Right, okay.
Try and do it fast enough.
I'm not really comfortable with you directing me whilst we're recording a segment on our show.
Do one more time faster. Just do one more time faster.
Okay, all right. I'll go one more time. You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps us get into the charts and raise more money. Sounds of Christmas. Download it now.
See, you're really good at that. I've got a lot to learn, haven't I?
Well, you said it.
In this next segment, they talk about the initial reaction when the single was released in 2018, including a message from the listener that suggested the Christmas song challenge that started this whole thing.
People have been tweeting me endlessly. People have been sending in their favourite lyrics.
What's nice is that people have been taking the opportunity to promote the single of their own accord as well. There was someone who was organising a gig in London, and they even made a handmade sign with the Samuels Charity logo on it to tell the audience that were coming to the gig to buy the song. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is because lots of people do charity singles for Christmas and other times of year, but the song is actually good.
That could be the proper title. We should have thought about that.
What, no one cares?
The Sounds of Christmas, open bracket, this song's actually good. In fact, whilst we're talking titles, can we be clear? Because we've said it both ways over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The song is not Sounds of Christmas. The song is The Sounds of Christmas.
Yeah, and that's kind of my fault a little bit. So Philip Mark sent us a song called Sounds of Christmas.
Yeah, just sounds, no the.
Yeah. And then,
but including the lyrical hook, The Sounds of Christmas Remind Me of You.
And I started calling it The Sounds of Christmas.
I don't blame you for that.
And then when we were getting the artwork done for the single, Terry Saunders, who's the guy that did the artwork, he also put The Sounds of Christmas. And because that was the artwork associated with the track, we had to call it The Sounds of Christmas.
Okay. We've had a fan of the song, Ollie, get in touch and send us the following voicemail. It's a voice you may recognise.
Ooh.
Hi, this is Jim Taylor, occasional member of Reverend and the Makers and a long-term Man fan. I, as some of you more eagle-eared listeners will know, I was the one who sent the challenge for Ollie Peart to write the Christmas song, not quite expecting it would take on the life it has. I was inspired when I saw him put a clip of himself drumming on Twitter, so slightly disappointed that he didn't play drums on the final recording, although I have to say the drums are excellent. Also very pleased to hear that he realised that 12-8 isn't Umpapa, but it is the staple Christmas beat of da-dum, 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 dum, used many times by Mariah Carey and Slade and Wizard and many others. Anyway, it's a wonderful tune. It's been stuck in my head for days now. I think it's got a good chance of making the top 40, if not higher than that. So big props to Ollie Peart and the rest of the team. Have a wonderful Christmas. I'll speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Big props to Ollie Peart.
He talks about chart position there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, thank you for that.
Gross.
Why don't you update us on how it's been doing?
So since it was released, I've been keeping tabs on the Amazon chart and
the iTunes
chart.
When you say tabs, you literally mean you've got 15 open tabs at all times.
Yeah, refresh, 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 right? And on Amazon, we got to number 4.
Did we?
And on iTunes, we got into the top 20. The top 20 on
okay.
it. iTunes chart. No, come on. No, listen.
No, you listen to me. Whose show is this?
Whoa.
Now, that is really impressive. Genuinely is that for a moment we were number 4 in the Amazon charts. Mm-hmm. But that is one moment in time, isn't it? The chart gets refreshed a lot. And that's just about one platform. That's just about Amazon. It's just at that moment in time in this country, we were the 4th most popular song for people to download on that platform, right?
Yeah. I'm talking it down here a bit.
No. I'm just being honest. I wanted to find out where we were actually placed in the overall download chart.
Okay.
Because the download chart itself is then only part of the overall top 40 that gets compiled, right? So mm-hmm. at the end of the week, the official chart company topped together the download chart together with the streaming chart. And correct me if I'm wrong here, 100 streams is worth one download, and then there's CD and vinyl sales to factor in as well.
That's right.
So it's hard to know where we are even in the overall chart, but I thought where we are in the official download chart,
yeah,
you know, would give us a steer. And Ollie Peart, I can tell you that you are inside not the top 40, but the top 30.
Ooh, that is good.
Really a thing, is it? People tend to talk 40 or 20, but still, you're at 29. And I genuinely think that's amazing. Because it does mean almost certainly, I don't know how it's going to work out with streams. A lot of people are streaming Last Christmas by Wham this time of year.
Sure.
You'd still think that would mean that Jim's right, we're going to be in that Christmas top 40.
But when they compile the rest of the stuff, that could then change. So
it could, because there could be 20 things that are more popular than that on streaming sites.
Yeah, gotcha.
That aren't even available to download.
Okay.
And some people have been writing in to say they've not heard that beautiful ad that I made last week live on the show. That was going to be inserted on other podcasts in the Acast network. What's going on there?
The advert does exist, and the advert will start going out on the Acast network across the podcasts that were involved and others that have opted in. And because you wouldn't let me play the drums on the record, I'm not letting you do the advert.
Right.
So I've decided to get somebody else to do it.
Wow.
This is The Sounds of Christmas, the charity single featuring your favourite podcasters and all in aid of Samuel's Charity. The Sounds of Christmas. Buy it now.
You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps get it into the charts and raise more money.
Have you got Mark Goodyear doing our ad?
Mark Goodyear.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
How good is that?
That's the best thing you've ever done.
Radio royalty, right there.
I'm in awe.
Yeah, you're sweating. You're really excited.
No, I'm really excited. But come on, if you're going to get a voiceover guy, like, no one's better than that for a chart-based thing.
So you don't feel bad about it then?
No!
Good,
I was going to be replaced by anybody.
No, I didn't feel bad about Kylie's drummer either.
I'll tell you what, like, even if you'd got, like, Peter Dixon, you know, like the X Factor guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, him.
Even if you'd got that, on the show, I'd have to be like, oh, wow, Peter Dixon. But inside, I'd be thinking, oh, it's a bit crass.
Yeah, because he does, like, PPI ads.
You know? You've got Goodyear.
There you go.
That's amazing.
So that'll be going out. So if you listen to
it's over. I don't want to talk anymore. It's all done. That's the best thing ever.
So how can
I don't
you...
care. Like, that is the best thing that's happened on this show.
All right.
The international listeners have no idea why I'm so excited about this. But anyway, he was the sound of the charts for
Well,
for our entire lives.
And he does the Now adverts.
Yeah, he still does Now That's What I Call Music.
Yeah. Which I think most people recognise his voice from that now.
Yeah. I wish you could have got him to say, and now that's what I call a Christmas single, but I imagine that would be burdened with all kinds of legal problems.
It doesn't matter how good the thing is that I do.
No, you still find a way
to just talk it down.
No, just slightly. That's really good.
Well, it was good, but...
No, Ollie, no, I'll be clear with you.
Banning that word from you.
That's much better than everything else you've ever done.
This final segment takes place a year later with an update on the song and the announcement of a video.
And that essentially is where the story ended if you were listening to the podcast in 2018. But it isn't where the story ended, is it, Ollie? Because Christmas happened.
It did.
And the chart came out.
The chart came out and there was news from that chart. We were in it. We weren't just in it, we were number...
Well, we were just in it.
Okay, fine. But we were number 38 in the download chart.
In the download chart, which isn't the chart that's the official one that includes the CDs and the streaming.
Don't sound so disparaging.
I'm not. I'm just being honest.
You kind of did.
No, it's important to have the journalistic facts.
Sure.
We got to number 38 in the download chart.
Top 40.
Well done. Mm-hmm. You were tasked with doing a Christmas hit.
Which
you made a Christmas hit.
I did. And it wasn't just that, but the response from our listeners was incredible. Loads of people tweeting about it. Also, the podcast that we got involved with were tweeting about it, Do the Right Thing and The Guilty Feminist.
Yes, Deborah Francis White actually DM'd me on Twitter the week that it came out, so like 3 days before Christmas, to ask if we could put together all of the podcasters that had sung on the single to appear at her live recording of The Guilty Feminist at the Lyric in Hammersmith. To appear with a live band and sing the song. And I thought, on the one hand, that would be amazing for everyone who took part to actually sing on a big stage in front of an audience of thousands. And then I thought, oh my God, that's going to sound terrible without autotune. And how are we going to get everyone from around the country to come and do it? So we didn't do that. But it was amazing that she was prepared to support it to that level.
Yeah, the sentiment there, which was great. But there was one thing that was missing from it. We didn't have, like every top 40 hit needs, a video.
Yes, and you put together the video free of charge.
Yeah, I basically put the word out on Twitter. I gave people 24 hours notice to send me clips of them reciting our song. Yeah. And then the idea was that I would just...
Lip sync, I believe, is the technical term.
That's exactly what the technical term.
Yeah, and so if you want to watch the video, and it is a bit odd because if you don't know anything about the show or the song, it's just like, what is going on? But if you want to see the video that Ollie made... From Man fans, listeners to the show who are enthusiastic about the song, lip syncing along, go to your YouTube channel, right? It's still there.
Yeah, my YouTube channel, Ollie Peart. Just search Ollie Peart on YouTube, you'll find it.
And of course, it is now Christmas again, because that is how the calendar works. Mm-hmm. And so people are beginning to listen to it again in 2019.
Of course they are.
I've just had this tweet, actually, from John Howell, who says, "The Sounds of Christmas just popped up on a playlist of mine. Since last Christmas, I've separated from my wife and my father passed away. It's a totally different song this year, but strangely, it is getting me out of my grump and into a good Christmas spirit. Good job."
Oh, that's really nice.
He tweeted that on the 3rd of December this year.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is, that's how you know that a Christmas song has cut through, isn't it? It becomes some people, I mean, admittedly a small amount of people, but some people's Christmas tradition.
I love it. I still love listening to it.
And because lyrically it does have some depth and profundity.
Because I wrote it.
It is, it's just, a completely pointless frippery.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And we've got a reason for you to buy it all over again.
Yeah, we do, because we have remixed the song for 2019 to include all the artists and musicians that we couldn't get in our... first effort, because time limitations
deadlines.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So people contributed musically but weren't on the finished record.
Yeah,
now they are.
Because we didn't have enough time. Yeah, okay. So it's called The Sounds of Christmas 2019 Mix.
Excellent. And we will put a link to that in the blog post to this episode on our website, modernmanwith2ns.co.uk. We'll put a link to Ollie's video for the song as well. And of course, a link to Samuel's charity so you can donate to them this Christmas. 2, and remember...
You could stream it 100 times, but really it's easier to buy it because that helps get it into the charts and raise more money.
But that's not all. You will probably be wondering exactly how much money we've raised through this enterprise.
Yeah, and I wanted to find out as well. So I spoke to Martin and asked him to send us an update.
Hi, Ollie and all the Modern Man listeners. Thank you so much for your support. So far, we've raised over £1,200 from the proceeds from the song. And from the donations from the podcast, the interview, we've raised over £6,500. From this money, we did quite a few things. One of the most important things that we did that has made a huge impact on thousands of kids' lives was buying an AccuVane. We support different wards with other items as well. For instance, we buy craft equipment, TVs, tablets, iPads, games, books, DVDs, players, things that you think would always be supplied by the hospitals, but are just not. There's many, many wards that get a lot of support, but we look after the ones that don't. But our work is not done. There are hundreds of thousands of kids each year that are in hospital fighting serious and terminal conditions. My son Sam knew how hard it was dealing with this. Going through this is an awful time. And anything that we can do to help them, especially at this time of year, means a great deal. So if you could spare a few pounds, please buy the song or donate at samuelscharity.co.uk. Alternatively, if you feel like joining in with some of the events that we do, we would really love you to join us. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Oh,
there you go, Ollie. You've done a good thing in your life.
That was amazing.
And so did you, if you bought the song. And if you didn't, then buy the song now. Ollie, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.
I found the journey of this Christmas single fascinating. Even though we've done episodes with artists following their journeys, recording and releasing Christmas singles and Christmas albums, this one was so different that I thought you might find it interesting as well. And of course, it wasn't insignificant that the title of the song was The Sounds of Christmas. I'd like to thank all the people who made this episode possible, starting with the Modern Man podcast, Ollie Mann, Ollie Parrott, and Matt Hill. You can find out more about them and subscribe to their podcast at modernman.co.uk. And remember, man is M-A-N-N. You can stream or download the song, The Sounds of Christmas 2019 Remix, by the podcast All-Stars on most, if not all, streaming services. You can watch the video on Ollie Parrott's YouTube channel. Ollie's last name is P-E-A-R-T. You can search his name or podcast All-Stars. You can find out more about Samuel's Charity through their website, samuelscharity.co.uk. Thanks so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. The station is still on, by the way, so anytime you need a little musical Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also get our app in the Google Play Store. And as far as the podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us today on your favorite, just search for The Sounds of Christmas there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe so you never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, The Sounds of Christmas station, or the upcoming Standard station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.